spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, His Name Shall Be Known, was written by Alan Sloan.
It began with a phone call. These later years of your life, it's always a phone call. And again, you wonder, who now? But this time, you already knew. It was in all the papers. Would you, they asked, like to write a memorial to him? I would be proud, you answered, adding that you'd known the man. Oh, they said, can you be objective then? Objectivity is possible if you go not into your memory or into your heart, but to the files, the records, the facts. They began with a phone call from an Associated Press reporter to a representative of the Joint Distribution Committee.
Hello, Joint Distribution Committee.
Sorry to wake you up at this hour, sir, but something just came in on the wire from Prague.
Prague? Czechoslovakia?
Right. One of your people is missing. His wife reported his disappearance to the American consulate. We wondered if you could give us any information you might have on it for a bulletin. Of course, we have other queries, but if you...
There was nothing the JDC man could give the AP. Prague is so far away. The next morning, the headlines spoke. Prague is queried on lost American.
Jewish relief exec vanishes.
Czechs pledge wide search. You knew him as Charlie. From way back. A person. Real. Not always easy to work with, to work for, but real. Now, objectively speaking, all you have is a file. A huge file. A fat file. Clippings, letters, telegrams, cables, photocopies. Paper. Does a man then come to this? A stack of paper? Is the human being he was in there? Beyond what happened to him. 2 days later, the headline spoke again.
The New York Times said...
Body of American missing in Prague is found in river.
A Texas paper said...
Jew said found. The facts. He had left his hotel telling his wife he was going to get a newspaper. His body was found in a river in Prague. The river is the Moldau. This music is called the Moldau. It has the same melody, give or take a few notes, as another called Hatikva. He was Charles Jordan, executive vice chairman of the Joint Distribution Committee, which, as the New York Times phrased it, helps needy Jews overseas. Helps. That's the understatement of the century. Jordan. That's also the name of another river. Write a memorial? What memorial? As the mountain of paper piles up, you think that such a thing should be a tribute to his life, not a monument to his death. And you think that somewhere in this pile, you may find it. Then more paper comes in, from France.
Profondément affecté par la disparition si tragique d'un homme à qui je portais une totale estime pour ses qualités personnelles.
que hemos tenido conocimiento del trágico fallecimiento del ilustre dirigente de Joint, señor Charles Jordan.
From Chile, from Belgium, from Bombay, from Cape Town, from Cedar Rapids, from Jerusalem. And
innigstes Beileid zu dem schweren Verlust Ihres Direktors, Herrn Charles Jordan.
From Germany. To be exact, Munich, where it all began. And to this Jewish organization, this.
I hasten to extend to you my deepest condolences. Amir Abbas Hoveida, Prime Minister, Iran.
A kind of memorial, that. Add to it tributes from every other faith, and their faithful, high and low, and the measure of the man you knew begins to take shape, objectively. But you do not have it yet, what you, who knew him, are looking for in the mountain of paper. Then, while you wonder what really did happen, more paper. 3 small pieces, postcards, bearing Czechoslovakian stamps. The mailroom man hands them over. He waits as you read. You note that one of the stamps is itself a memorial to a place called Lidice. The mailman's finger points to the postmark.
The date. Mailed the day before.
It's from Charlie, and you read...
Believe me, I am homesick. Prague is jumping with tourists. Regards from what I call the point of departure. We resolved not to go away again for such a long stretch, for a long time to come.
What was that? Not to go away again. Reminds you of something you almost knew before. Only now you do know. More and more paper pouring in. Sweden, Australia, Uruguay, Italy, Norway, England. And now files from the archives. Where he has been, what offices he's held. Havana in 41, the Navy in 43, Shanghai in 45 and 46, Europe in 47, Germany, Austria. Then, head of the Joint Distribution Committee's Emigration Department for Europe. This is where you came in. This was where you first knew, Charlie. Go into your memory. Go into your heart. You have the right. What the problem was exactly, you have forgotten, but it had to do with transport. 100, 200 DPs still living in the concentration camp they'd almost died in. A foul-up, a snafu. No trucks. No train to take him to a camp. Still a camp, but without the smell of death on it. Some officer saying, no, no trucks, where are the orders? Then Charlie.
All right. You now have 30 seconds to get me General Crane Berlin.
No papers, no transport.
Lieutenant, you have 1 minute to get those people on something on with wheels, or I call the White House.
Then, from a major at another desk,
the White House will answer, too, Lieutenant. Give him his wheels.
A man of fiber. Not that easy to work for, you remember. No saint. Even the letters in the mountain of paper admitted in the midst of condolence. A powerhouse, says one. A motor, says another. A driving executive, another. And you remember, not without a rueful wince, that vocabulary. In crisis, and it was always crisis in those days, fairly, shall we say, peremptory. But then, it was a time of dreadful vocabularies. Words like Aktion, Transport, Lager, Kapo, Herrenvolk, Sonderhandlung, Final Solution, Judenfrei, Dachau. Tough. In the skirmishes he fought, the campaign he led on the battlefield of Jewish survival, of human survival, he had to be tough, or people died. And yet, you remember seeing him go soft one day, on the edge of tears, yet holding back in the face of sorrow and hope that surrounded him. You saw him in a place called Aglasterhausen, a DP camp for children. Scores of them, the remnants, all of them listed as unaccompanied, which is translation from the officialese, orphans of the Holocaust. Sitting on his knee, 8-year-old Dora Feigenbaum, leaning against his shoulder, 13-year-old Sarah, her sister, the woman interpreter explaining.
Sarah has been accepted for emigration to Canada, but Dora's a little one has a TB spot on the lung, so she cannot go. And because the big one is all the little one has, and the little one is all the big one has, the big one has turned down her chance to go.
Standing in front of Charlie, wearing the GI cap, Nick, 14.
Nick is Hungarish. A GI, how do you call it? Yes, a mascot. A GI mascot. But when they went home, they left him. He has a familia in America, but there are so few, so many Goldsteins.
And just touching Charlie's jacket to feel the fine American cloth, Meyer, 15-year-old Meyer from Warsaw, and latterly, Auschwitz, last of the last. Again, the interpreter in translation.
Young Meyer here saw all die. Father, Mutti, Alle, verbrannt. He asks, this is how he says it, for myself nur, only to live is genug, is enough. Und for meine Leute, for my people, Freiheit, freedom.
Freedom. You remember Charlie Jordan's face when she said it.
And now, for our honored guest from Choyn, the children sing Ha Yarden.
Yarden, the River Jordan. You were there. You recorded it. The leading voice is young Meyer. Young Meyer, who saw his parents die. Today, 1968, they're all free, all resettled in America, Canada, Australia, Israel. All the children, including Sarah with little Dora. You go back to the mountain of paper. Perhaps they've written, some of the children, and then you realize they're grown up now. Sarah and Dora, you've kept track of them, now have children of their own. And there, that is memorial enough. Almost. But they were so young. They never really knew his name, the man who came to see them in the DP camp from Joint. To them, Charlie Jordan is only a headline in today's newspaper. So is this a kind of memorial? A boy he heard fiddling in Shanghai in the middle 40s. Today, a concert master in a great American orchestra. Does he know who paid, privately and anonymously, for his lessons when he was helped to emigrate at last to the States? Charlie Jordan did. Charlie had no children, you see. In his own phrase, he had to be everybody's uncle without letting them know it. Back to the mountain of paper, and they bring you still another folder. This one, private. His own file. Strangely, it holds letters from abroad. And then you remember, He kept copies of his favorites from among the thousands that came to Joint down through the years. Like this one, from two teenagers in Poland. For laughs, he read it to friends who realized the compliment it was to JDC.
Dear Joint, on the theory that nothing is impossible, especially in America, my colleague and I appeal for $1,000 each. To you, only a bagatelle to complete our studies.
Oh, yes, they went to school. Surely that's a memorial. And another letter from the Urals, where the refugees were living in caves.
In the confusion, I left all my books behind me. But everyone comes to me for instruction in religious matters. So please send me a calendar of the year, for I am afraid that without it, we won't know when Pesach starts and will eat chometz instead of matzahs.
The old rabbi got his calendar, and matzahs too. And that is likewise a memorial. Here's another letter of the many, many.
I'm writing this to you not for a piece of bread or a dollar, but to find a Jewish heart who will help me and my wife and two children to come to a country which I see day and night, the country of my brothers and fathers, the green fields and forests, the beautiful mountains and the blue skies. The land of Israel. That alone I see with my blind eyes.
He, the blind one, is now there in Israel. And that is certainly a memorial. And it's equally true of hundreds of thousands similarly helped. But, you ask, are statistics, people multiplied by X plus a few zeros, are such statistics a fit memorial? Well, you go on digging in the mountain of paper, the file, his file. Again, a couple of postcards. He must have saved them for decades. Charlie was born in America, but grew up in Germany until the 30s. His parents separated. His mother stayed in Europe, went back to Warsaw. The postcards are from her. They're in German. The message is too personal for you to continue reading, much less report. Here is the word hoffentlich, hopefully. Here the word Sorge, sorrow. And here she signs Mutti, Mama. On the reverse, no picture, as on the cards from Prague, which incidentally showed a bridge over the river Moldau. Only the censor mark with eagle-mounted swastika and the postmark Warsaw. Not Warsaw, Poland, but Warsaw, Germany. The address, Torplatz 6, in the ghetto. The American Joint Distribution Committee, for whom he worked to the bitter bone, as all who worked for Joint did, managed to rescue some thousands from the ranks of death. But not his mother, his own mother. Now, if you needed telling, you know what powered him, this driver, this motor among men, and why sometimes anger when there should have been rejoicing. You remember a moment when a cable came in, and his remark,
"They got out? Good."
"Who?" you ask. "How many? Out of where? What's the story?"
"What difference does it make? We got them out. What's the matter? No work to do?"
And so you ask about the work. When does he want such and such done?
"Yesterday. We have no time."
You sit and stare at those postcards from his mother. He who could have powered corporations, industries, bigger and far less heart-hurting organizations than Joint. You know now why he chose and had to choose this road in life. You could say it occurs to you that his life was a memorial to hers, his mother. But that's still not enough. What you want is not going to be found in all that paper ever. Dispiritedly now, you riffle through the new batch. Here, another cable. Out of it jumps a word,
In Hebrew, Rachmanut, compassion. Close, that, but only a word. Words will not do it. They have all been said. What can you add? Hear now a letter written in sorrow, but with a bite of anger. The writer, a lawyer of stature,
mysterious
most large,
circumstances, most
but all that is unimportant now. He is dead. How or why, we will never know. Nor does it matter now. But the death of a man like Charles Jordan should not pass into oblivion. Someone should do something about it. What? That is the question. Some great thing. But what? A scholarship? An endowment? A memorial?
A memorial, assuredly. But what? You shove aside the latest file of paper. It will not be there. Words, words, words. Enough already. A clipping falls off. You pick it up. Very few words, and a picture. And you have it. Something that was done. Just a little clipping, a picture that never made the papers here. But you have it. One of those pictures taken with a great deal of love, and not enough skill for the photo desk to send it on to engraving and print. In the picture, three men, one of them holding a baby. The time, 1 week after his death. The place, Kiryat Gat, a kibbutz in Israel. The occasion, the ceremony of the covenant, the bris, that is circumcision. The men in the picture, one the father named Moishe Leibov, a laborer in an ice factory originally from Romania. The second, the Moel, a Moroccan from the island of Djerba. The third, an American tourist.
Well, the way it happened, I was touring the area and this man came over to me. Oh, nice fellow. All excited. Talking this mixture of English and Hebrew, Yiddish, Romanian. Well, I finally made out what he wanted. Where I come right over to his house in the kibbutz for a ceremony. A bris. He had his moil. He had his cantor from Tunisia, I gathered. And he had to have an American. He wanted me for the Sendak, the sponsor, the godfather, you know. Well, it was so long since I was involved, I said, well, what do you need me for? Well, he just wanted an American. It was his first son, you see. And he heard I was touring the area for the joint, and he wanted me. Well, I agreed. Walking over to his place, I asked what I had to know. You know, brush up on the blessing, the sequence, and, of course, the child's name. I mean, what were they going to call the kid? Well, he said, Charlie Jordan. Charlie Jordan, I said. Now, wait a minute. Why that?
Because the joint has saved me and mine.
Oh, sure, I said. But, I mean, Charlie Jordan is only one man. Now, personally, he didn't save you. And besides...
No, it is right. He saved me. And it is written, Kol hamakayim nefesh ahas, ki'ilu kiyem olom mole.
Yeah, I have to run into a Talmudist, me and my rusty Hebrew. So I said, meaning?
He who saves one soul, it is as if he has preserved the whole world.
Oh, I said, yeah, of course. But I said, for one thing, Charles Jordan, now that isn't even Hebrew. And for another thing, I said, do we name a child after the living? See, the way I understand it, by now, we're right outside his house. It's a little wooden house, practically a shed. And he tells me, right between the eyes. I don't know how I missed it. Papers, the radio, I went in and I took the child, his firstborn in Israel. I took him upon my knees, and we named him.
Baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam, asher kidshonu b'mitzvosov, v'tzivonu al hamilo. Praised be thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who hast instructed us to perform the rite of circumcision.
O God,
God of our fathers, preserve this child for his mother and father, and may his name be known in the land of Israel as Charles Jordan Leiber.
Life, new life, is the memorial to him who gave so much of his life that others might live free. And his name shall be known. Amen.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 25 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, New York, 10027. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Louis Broido, Chairman of the Joint Distribution Committee. Mr. Broido.
Charlie Jordan. An interviewer once asked him if he had any children. Charlie answered with a question. Do I need any of my own when I have thousands of them throughout the world? And the name stuck, Father to Refugees. This kind of parental attitude is what we remember best at JDC about our colleague. This and an almost compulsive devotion to his duties and responsibilities wherever in the world they called him. We remember, for example, the time just before the Six-Day War. Charlie flew to Israel, surveyed, conferred, studied, flew home, conferred, reported, planned, flew back, organized, administered, and flew home, and all in the space of 3 weeks. It has been said in many a memorial over and over again that Charlie Jordan's work was his life. But that is inexact. His driving intensity, his devotion to his work, had as their wellspring his deep concern for the human beings in their millions whose lives were affected by his work and that of the Joint Distribution Committee, of which he was a worldwide symbol. And the search for a fitting memorial ultimately resolves, as in today's story, in the realization that his true memorial can be found only in the continuation of the task to which he gave that last full measure of devotion, the changing of human lives for the better.
Thank you, Mr. Broido. Our Eternal Light program today, His Name Shall Be Known, was written by Alan Sloan. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured today was Harry Belliver as Charlie Jordan and Lester Rollins as the narrator. Others in the cast were Ida Reese Merrin, Robert Dryden, Ralph Camargo, Gene Allen, Merrill Jowles, Stefan Schnabel, Albert M. Ottenheimer, Jay Barney, and Roger DeCoven. We invite you to join us next week when the Eternal Light will present The Mother Tongue by Harold Flender, the first of a series of four shows on Yiddish. This is Jerry Damon. The Eternal Light is directed by Kenneth McGregor and is presented weekly under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.